We're going to read from Luke chapter 15, and we're going to commence our reading at verse 11. This is a well-known parable. It's known as the parable of the prodigal son, and I'm sure for everyone tonight you'll be familiar with these verses. And he said, a certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto them his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. And he would fain have filled his belly with the husks that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. And when he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father, and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thine hired servants. And he arose and came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion, and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said to his servants, bring forth the best robe, and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand, and shoes on his feet, and bring hither the fatted calf, and kill it, and let us eat, and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they began to be merry. Amen. We'll finish our reading there at the 24th verse. This, of course, is a very popular story among the boys and girls. It's a very simple story. It has very simple illustrations. And it's a story, a lesson from Scripture that we've made mention of with the boys and girls even in recent months. And some time ago, as I was reading through this parable afresh, I noticed in the 20th verse, if you turn to it please, it says, and he arose and came to his father, but when he was yet a great way off. And after that word off, we notice five things that the father did. It says, first of all, his father saw him. Secondly, and had compassion. Thirdly, and ran. Fourthly, and fell on his neck. And finally, kissed him. And it's with those simple thoughts this evening, I want to come and just leave some thoughts from God's word concerning the relationship between the Father and the Son. You know, as we think about the Godhead, sometimes it can be very difficult to extract the persons of the Godhead as we think about our relationship with God. There's theologians, I'm sure, who could do it very well and very succinctly. But sometimes as we read through portions of Scripture like this, and we think, of course, of the Father, and we think naturally of God the Father, so often As we look at these portions of Scripture, there are characteristics there also that we can associate with the person of God's Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Of course, in the book of Isaiah, we're reminded of those great titles that were given to Christ. His name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace. And so that title of Everlasting Father can also, of course, be applied to the Savior, as it is in that portion of Scripture. And as we come this evening, I want you to notice those five points that we've simply read from the 20th verse. And there's a wonderful thought in each one of these points. We notice, first of all, the wonder of the look. You know, if you studied about the stars, I don't mean about the stars that you read about in the paper, but if you studied astronomy as opposed to astrology, and you studied the size and the distance and all the rest of it, it makes us realize how small we are. We are but a speck of dust. I thought tonight as it was, I would come to you, I would give you some statistics about this, and I'm not going to bother because I couldn't understand the statistics. There ended up that many knots in the end when you start looking at how many stars there are and this planet fitting into the sun so many times, and if another planet or another sun was hollow, how many times our sun would fit inside it. We are but a speck of dust upon the creation that God has made. And yet, amazingly, God took that dust and made man and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And you know, as we think tonight of the spiritual application of this particular parable, one of the most wonderful things to consider is the fact that the Father saw him. The fact that tonight as we come before God, we might be filled with a sense of our own importance. But really, there is no great significance to any one of us. And yet God sees us. You know, we read about in John chapter 9, just at the beginning of that chapter, if you go to the end of chapter 8, you read about the confrontation that Christ has with the Pharisees, and he passes through them out from the temple. And as he's going out in those crowded streets, there's a man lying at the side of the road, and he's blind. And there's a wonderful thought there. And the verse there in chapter 9 of John, verse 1, I'll read it to you, says, "And Jesus passed by and saw a man which was blind from his birth." If you stop for a moment and you just think, you just visualize in your mind's eye what's happening. There's a man who has never, ever been able to see. He's blind. He's begging every day of his adult life, probably from the early years of his childhood, he's begged with no one to look after him. And here he is this day, and he's begging again. But this day, standing right in front of him, is the Son of God, and he can't see him. Like any other day, the man begs, he cries out for some food, for some gift to be given from those that pass by, but he can't see who's there. And here is the Lord Jesus Christ, and he's just standing in front of him. And he's looking at him. What a wonderful thought that for us, for you and I, brother, sister, tonight, as we came originally to Christ as sinners, we were blind. Unaware of the fact that the Son of God was right before us, perhaps at that time unaware of all that was going on, and yet God was present with us. And this evening, as we come before God, even in prayer later on, we should be blessed with the thought that he sees us, that he cares enough to have his attention focused upon us. It's a wonderful blessing to know that as we come to him this evening, as we come before him, that he sees each one of us. And then secondly, we see that the Father had compassion. We see the wonder of his heart and that compassion that he had. Earlier on, we sang that hymn, "Amazing Love." How can it be that thou, my God, shouldst die for me? And we think about the compassion of Christ. You know, God here shows us his heart. Sometimes we don't know what people are thinking. Sometimes we see by their actions what they mean. I'm thinking of being married. You know, sometimes every day of my life I love Joanna, my wife. Sometimes I don't tell her enough. And sometimes it seems that telling her isn't enough. You have to do something, buy her flowers or show her in some tangible way. I think all women are like that. But you know, we don't always see the compassion of the heart. Here in these verses, we see the compassion. We wouldn't know if we weren't told. And God speaks here of the compassion in the heart of the Father. Sometimes it's necessary to remind ourselves the wonder of His heart. You know, again, as we think of ourselves, we come before God. We should be mindful of just who we are and what we are, and how much we've been blessed with God's grace and mercy. How little we are. How undeserving we are. And we see the wonder of His heart. We should have been discarded, forgotten about, cast into hell. But in His love and in His mercy, as He looked upon us in the state we were in, He loved us. What great compassion. Then thirdly, we see the wonder of His haste. Because the verse says that when the Father saw Him, He had compassion and He ran. You know, again, we think of the simple illustrations in the Gospel, and we can think about the seeking shepherd. You know what? I remember as a child thinking about this and wondering, you know, how is it that God, who knows everything and sees everything, is seeking for that which is lost? Surely if anyone could find something that's lost, God can. Why does He have to look? And it bewildered me. But folks, tonight we know the spiritual application of the lesson. We were lost. He sought me and bought me with His redeeming blood. Thank God tonight that when we were away, when we were lost, when we were in rags, He was seeking us. We think of the Father here in this particular parable. And again, your mind's eye can visualize how that broken-hearted Father would look out every day for the son that was gone, for the son that was lost, how He loved him. We think of the haste with which He ran towards Him. You know, if God's sense of urgency was like our sense of urgency, we would be in trouble. So often today, and amongst the church and amongst God's people, there is no real sense of urgency over the things that we should be urgent about. In fact, sometimes we get it wrong, don't we? And we get urgent about things that aren't really that important. But there are things that we should be urgent about. We should be urgent in our praying. Someone once said, you know, if we really believed that the people that we love were on the road to hell, we would never get off our knees praying for their salvation. And you can understand the point that was being made. If we really were conscious every moment of every day of the urgency of the thought that those that we love are just a breath away from hell, it would drive us to pray all the harder. The Father pursued the Son with great haste. He came towards Him. And then we see, fourthly, that He fell on His neck. And again, if you visualize it, it's almost a bizarre situation. Here's this boy and he's coming up the road, and we see again God shows us the thoughts of the man's mind as he's coming up the road, and he's thinking, what will I say? How will I start the conversation off? I'll say, Father, I've sinned. I'm no more worthy to be called Your son. And he's playing over in his mind, how am I going to say it? What am I going to say? But as he's playing it over in his mind, the Father sees him. And he has compassion. And he begins to run. And as he comes towards him, this boy, he begins to speak. And he says his prepared words that he thought he should say when he gets into the presence of his Father. But it would seem almost as if his Father isn't even listening. Because more is said by what the Son is doing than by what he's saying. And he's just glad to see him back. And he runs and he falls down on his neck to the ground. And you know, brothers and sisters, tonight as we think about God the Father, we see the wonder of his humility. And we think about how God's Son, just like the Father in this parable, was brought to the lowest point that he could reach. The Father fell right down on his neck to the ground. He could not get any lower. And we know this evening that our blessed Savior, when he came to this earth, he came to die in our room and in our stead. And he came and he could not get any lower. He stooped so low from the heavenly places to come to this earth that we might be redeemed. And we see the picture of Christ in that very action. And then finally, we see that he kissed them. We see the wonder of his hospitality. It should have been hostility. By right, considering all that the Son had done, how he had so impolitely asked for the money and got the money and then left suddenly and squandered the money and then came back in rags sometime later, he deserved to be chastened. And yet, his Father welcomed him back. We can see, you know, that it wasn't what he said that made his Father welcome him. It wasn't what he said that made his Father kiss him. You see, the love of the Father, not the worthiness of the Son, but the love of the Father. And as we come to God, we come unworthy, like the prodigal son. There's no good in us. And yet, thank God that through Christ, we can have that blessing of coming into his presence, knowing that we're welcome, knowing that his arms are outstretched. Through Christ, we've received the loving kiss of the Father. We've been blessed by him. And as we come before him tonight in prayer, may our hearts be warmed by the thought of his love and by the thought of all that he has done for us. Amen.